Monterrey, Mexico. The school in Guadalajara, in the worst part. You know, a lot of Americans retire and go to Guadalajara, but you don't, from where they live, you don't see where that school is. The director, this man reminds me so of him. He came to the school we were conducting in Kerrville, Texas, and gave a testimony like this. He was terribly involved in drugs, troubles. God delivered him. And he came over here to a school, and his own words were that I was losing what I had. So we went back, and God told him, said, you're going to reach Mexico. So there's three questions I have. What am I train them with? Where am I going to get those trained? How am I going to? Well, a great young missionary down there, really, man. He talking to me, he felt this was the answer. Well, God gave him an answer to the first question, who am I going to train? He said to people just like you, them drug addicts are going to reach this nation. I'm going to pull them up. Well, he said, how am I going to pay for it? What am I going to use? Well, the school has become that. We paid for it. The first school, they planted four churches while the school was on. But they go every Saturday down into the worst part of that city. He said, Brother Clendenin, they'd come out there to do us harm, but they'd fall down like snakes. Said, demons come out. Said, God helped us. We delivered them. Said, the power of God delivered them. And said, you believe I can't get a place big enough for those that need to be trained. No country we've ever been in has it ever failed. Testimony's been the same in every country we've went in. Because it's not a man, it's a school. It isn't going to get drunk. It isn't going to commit adultery. It's going to say the same thing in whatever language you put it in. Hallelujah. It's a tool of this end time. It needs to be on those reservations. Pastor, over the next several months, if you could sponsor one of those $2,500, you'll clip more coupons than you will with all the Sunday school programs. Just put that out there on that reservation. They'll plant churches all over it. I told him here the other night, some of you weren't here, we put it in prisons. Just talked to Pete, we're putting it in the worst terrorist prison in Peru now. We have it in six, but in the mountains, going next month. But Lurigondo in Lima, the worst prison, Reader's Digest said, in the world. When I went in there, I've never been among animals like that. Even the guards wouldn't go in. They're outside with their machine guns walking around that fence. I walked through there, wonder if I ever get out. The filth, got to watch where you walk, because every place is a bathroom. Those animals had no clothes on. We went into the place, filthy room they give them. When I went back to that graduation, 300 men sat there in that room, wept so hard the front of the shirt was wet. God had saved them, filled them with the Holy Ghost, graduated 36 of them. The others had just started anywhere. They just come in the school, been saved. Now there's going on others. I talked to them, and I said, you come here because you was a murderer. You was an addict. You come here because of your crime. Because you don't sin anymore. Because heaven don't have any record of that crime. You're a new creature. You're not a Peruvian now. You're a new creature. And heaven has no record. So they can't, you're not here. Your new boss doesn't have you here because you're a murderer. You're here in the will of God. I said, this is your mission field. The 6,000 humans here need to know. Brother Smackman came back in November and called me up. Pastor, in that English book, he said, there's 20 wings in that 50. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We put that school in 61 prisons in Russia. 61. But the testimonies he gave. You need to be involved. This is the end. There's no way we're going to reach every creature. Guatemala must reach Guatemala. We're going to reach all China this year. We're in 28 provinces. For me, said Brother Clinton, if you put it in the Korean language, we have free access to North Korea. We'll fill North Korea with this language. It'll be Korea in March. Hallelujah. It's in Beaumont now, Putnik in the Arabic language, and we'll have it in Jordan and Egypt before spring, maybe the time you get to the convention. But after that, we said, I can put it in Iraq, sit there, but I have a way to get in Iraq. And he said, no matter what men say, there's Christians, all of them. It's a great day to be alive. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful day to be alive. There's a lot of troubles out there, but there's better things than that going on. Hallelujah. We've been talking about the Holy Ghost. That's the only way it works. You cannot, under no circumstances, carry the gospel. The gospel was given in a hostile context and can only be carried out by a Pentecostal church in Pentecostal power. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, while you'll run by the Gospel of Luke in that 24th chapter, and verse 49, he said to those men that had watched him raise the dead, cast out devils, heal the sick, take a lad's lunch, and feed upward to 20,000 people. They'd heard every message he had to preach, but he said, don't you leave the city until you're endued with power from on high. What he said to him, you're not fit to deal with this, what I've told you, until you have this Holy Spirit. It's not enough that you know something. There has to be that in you to make real what you know. Paul said, we're not one of those that handle the Word of God deceitfully. He's not talking about changing the Word of God. But we're not of those that handle the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. What he said was, we are what we preach. We stand here not telling you something. We are what we preach. By manifestation of the truth. That's the gospel. And here, as you and I come to understand this, that this gospel, the Holy Ghost, is the only thing that can make that real. So he said to them, don't you leave the city until you've been endued with power from on high. Then in the first chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own hands, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Thank you, Father, to help us tonight, not only to speak, but to hear. In the name of Jesus. Amen. In the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus, just before going back there in the closing out, he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, you have to know where he was when he said that. He's about to ascend. He's already been to heaven. There had to be a pre-ascension ascension. Because he said to the woman, don't touch me, for I've not ascended to my Father and your Father. But later, he invited people to touch him. So he's been there, been approved, stood there before God, offered himself with all the rights of God secured in his own person, and was accepted as what it took. Now he's going back, and this has been given to him, not as God. He needed nobody to give him anything. As God, but is a man, the firstborn of a whole new race. That means that power was given to the church. That power belongs to that church who through the power of the Holy Ghost make Christ real. Now I want you to hold on to that, because we're going to come back to it in a little bit. We've been talking about the Spirit, God coming to live in us, and what it means for him to be there. He is in us the interpreter of the Scripture, nothing else. He wrote it. He alone knows what it says. He is in us the conviction of God, the power to convict. He's as the comforter. He is in us as all that God is, and the power that comes with, you shall receive power. He said, go in all the world. That's the authority to go. But authority is worth nothing without the power to enforce it. He gave them power to enforce that commission. Now, you shall receive power. The disciples had heard from John about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm not worthy to unloose the shoes of the one that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, Jesus had spoken to them, and the Father's given the Spirit to those that ask him. Now, the last night, Jesus told him that he, the Spirit, would dwell in them, witnessing with them, convicting the world of sin. He would do that in them, working through them. Now, they knew that the coming of the Spirit was connected with the work that they had to do. They are given the total impossibility, and they understood that the coming of the Holy Ghost was connected with what God had told them to do. It was to empower them to make this gospel real, not just verbally, but in what they were. When they stood to preach what a Christian was, then Paul said, we're not handling it deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth we're bringing to you, we're preaching this gospel. I am what this gospel is what he said. Now, our Lord summed up all his teaching with this promise. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be, not make, but be a witness unto me. This very life in a man will make him a witness. Stay full of God, and men around you will know you're different. If you walk in the Holy Spirit, somebody is going to ask you why you act like you do. Somebody's going to take note of what's going on. If you live and walk in the Holy Ghost, Stephen talked about that Old Testament tabernacle being a tabernacle of witness. The same identical word that Jesus used here in the 8th chapter of the book of 1st, or the 8th verse of the 1st chapter of Acts, talked about being a witness. Now that tabernacle couldn't sing, couldn't dance, couldn't talk. Ugly as sin on the outside, but every heathen knew God lived on. It was a witness to that world as it stood there. There's a fire over it at night, a cloud in the daytime, and every heathen knew that God lived there. It is your heart. We now are the Holy of Holies, and if God properly lives in us, men will know. Wigglesworth riding across Australia on a train, and he said he went out between the cars, and he said, I was wonderfully refilled with the Holy Ghost. The train cars riding in was full, and he said, I went back and sat down, and the minute I sat down, two Roman priests across the aisle cried out, you convict us of sin. And in a matter of minutes, the entire car was on their knees crying out to God. He had not preached a sermon by words, but the Holy Ghost made him a witness unto men. God hasn't changed, we changed. The whole change come with us. Nothing has changed with God. If we'll come back Hear this truth. Let God possess us. A God-possessed life. A real demon-possessed person. Nobody has to ask, is he devil-possessed? You know it when you see him. You can see it in his eyes. See it in his action. Because he acts like the devil that possessed him. And a man possessed of God will act like God. Power. Power to be a witness. That's what he's saying. You will have power that'll make you a witness, that men will know that you're possessed of me. Just as surely as in no man are possessed of the devil. This is what the disciples were looking for. Power to be, power to do the thing that God had called them to do. Now this power of this promise, rather, was in perfect harmony with all they'd seen of the Spirit's work in the Bible. Totally. In the days before the flood, the Spirit, the Bible said, strove with men. The Holy Ghost. In the ministry of Moses, the Spirit equipped him and the 70 for the work of ruling and governing Israel. In the days of the judges, the Spirit gave power to fight and defeat the enemy. In the times of kings and prophets, he gave boldness to testify against sin and power to proclaim a coming redemption. They saw that. Every mention of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is connected with the kingdom of God, equipping men to enforce that kingdom, equipping men and women to make that kingdom a reality on this earth. Now, with great prophecy of the Messiah, the Son of God, open the ministry at Nazareth. He being anointed with the Holy Spirit at one purpose of bringing deliverance to the captive and gladness to the mourners. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Open the eyes of the blind. All of it in the Holy Spirit. No man ever led by the Spirit like Christ. It came on him in the third chapter of Matthew as a dove. In the fourth chapter, it led him to the wilderness. For 40 days, he defeated the devil by the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. He left in the power of the Spirit. He climbed the pulpit steps of Nazareth, and his first message was, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And Acts says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And in the book of Hebrews, it said through the eternal Spirit, he offered himself to God. All the way to the cross, he was led by this Spirit. Never one time separated himself from that Spirit. Always under its control. He knew this was the answer. And so he said to me, it's expedient for you that I go away. I'm with you, but I'm going to be in you. And when I'm in you, you'll possess what I possess to walk above sin and to be the person that can witness for me. The power of the Holy Ghost. Power to witness. Think about it. Power to witness. The church must understand this today if we're going to be effective. We must come to understand this truth. Here the Bible said that we, the purpose of God in our life, is to conform us to the image of Christ. That's the end result for every one of us. God looks on this 400 plus people here tonight, and when he looks at us, he sees nothing but Christ. All of his working with us then is to rid us of whatever is not Christ. The Holy Ghost lights on nothing, deals with nothing but Christ. Never. When Noah let him loose the second time, he flew from Matthew or from Genesis to Matthew looking for somebody to light on. Flew over the greatest people of the Old Testament, but never stopped till he got to that that river Jordan, and Christ was being baptized. He'd been coming on him ever since. Always on Christ. Always. And it is this, as we come to allow Christ to be our life, as we live in Christ, conform to the image of Christ, only the Holy Ghost can do that. As you learn to walk in the Spirit of God, then like Paul, it's no longer I but Christ. Now Jesus said, all power has been given unto me. Now we showed how that simply means that's given to this new race of people. He is the federal head as a man now of a whole new race, the firstborn of a new creature, that he may bring many brethren to glory. It never came on him, that power, as God, but it came on him as the firstborn of this race. Now he said, all power has been given to me, and Paul said Christ was the power of God. He is the power of God. The Holy Ghost as Christ in us, conforming us to Christ, is the answer to everything. It is the nature of this Christian experience to accumulate power as it progressively moves toward the image of Him who has all power. That's how it works. It isn't positive thinking. It isn't learning how to talk good. It's a matter of Christ. The measure of Christ is a measure of God's work on this earth. And as the Holy Ghost is able to make Christ or manifest Christ, then that power is available. It's there in me, in you. But it's not something that just happens. I must believe that that power is there. I must believe. I've received the Holy Ghost. I'm not perfected yet, but where I am, it will work. Peter faced that man right after Pentecost, crippled 40 years. Jesus walked through that gate, and the cripple remained there. He left him there for these men. Peter said, I received something yesterday that can make a difference in your life. What I have, I give it to you. He was bold in his proclamation. He believed there was a power. Most of it think all it is a talk in tongues. You know, it's wonderful to get happy and run around the church and jump, shout, praise God. We should. But I wonder sometimes, if it wouldn't be better, just stop and lay hands on me. You know, why expend it running? Just lay hands on somebody. Hallelujah. We had next to the church, back of it, there was had been a nursing home, but it's turned in to one of those where they had retarded people. They weren't completely idiots or insane, but they were people retarded. And many of them got to come into the church. And one night preaching, the Holy Ghost got into that place. I'd done lost all connection with reality. Caught up in that Holy Ghost preaching. All of a sudden, I never heard such screams. Back there, maybe 10, 15 of them poor souls. And they jumped up screaming and run out of that church. Just screaming, hollering out on the parking lot. It took all kinds of people to get them quieted down. And it never dawned on me until it was over that the same power that stirred that devil up could have healed every one of them. When that power's there when he's there, evidence enough to stir that devil up, you can cast him out. If it makes him get up. I said, I was haunted for weeks. It never dawned on me. The Holy Ghost took a hold. They ran out of that building. I said to my wife, if I would have known. We could have cast every devil out, healed every mind, and could have saw the greatest miracle Beaumont or anybody's had since the day of Pentecost. Just recognize this power. It is the very nature of that experience that's in you to accumulate power as it progressively moves toward the image of Christ. Now, the Holy Ghost is always connected with power. Always. Never does he come that there's not power there? Whenever he visits a human heart, there's power connected with that visit. 50 years ago, I sat in a church in Alice, Texas, lost, on the way to hell. Couldn't quote John 3:16. No, sir. Couldn't quote John 3:16. Lived in a world where there's a church on every corner, but we never went to them. We had a Bible that you logged up marriages and deaths in. Nobody ever read it. Nobody ever opened it up. My mama used to say she was a Baptist, but I never knew her to go to church. She was a Pentecostal when God took her home, though at 94. Amen. But she said she is a Baptist. But I never saw her go to church, never saw her read the Bible. None of us ever knelt anywhere to pray. Didn't know anything about it. But 50 years ago tonight, I was birthed of God. Amen. I sat in that church a drunk. I don't know, it may have went from a bar into that place. I sat there, tried to hide behind a post, and the Holy Ghost come down that aisle. I didn't see him, but he come down, and he stopped where I was. Oh, hallelujah to God. Oh, my. He stopped where I was, and he said, you're a sinner. He convicted me. That's convinced. He didn't come to damn me. He brought that blood. He said to me, you're a sinner. I have the answer. And as many as have followed me, I give them power. I followed him to that altar that night. Listen, conviction. No way God can deal with you without conviction. No way God can do anything in your life without conviction. That conviction must come. I've tried many times to change my life. I swore I'm going to be a better man. I'm not going to do this anymore. Only, my wife said to me one time, you got more willpower than any man I ever met. How do you say that? Why, you quit smoking 7 times last week. That's the way everything was. Good intention, but nothing worked. Always going to be better, but nothing worked. But there come that conviction. There come that. You see, a man that's lost is like a man in a coma. I've been in the hospital. You've been there. They're in that coma. And that nurse said to me, be careful what you say. They can hear, but they cannot respond. They can hear what you're saying, but they can't respond. That man that's lost is that way. He can hear, but he can't respond. Until the Holy Ghost breaks the chains, breaks the shackles, with that conviction, there's a power every time he comes. He never comes, but there's power there. He came to me that night with that conviction, and the chains fell. With that conviction, there came the power to repent. What I never could do in my life is possible now. Only possible because he found me behind that post. He came where I was and said, you're a sinner, but I have the answer. I have the answer. But there was absolutely no way for that to happen. I quit drinking only to buy more. I quit smoking only. I said, I got to quit throwing these packs away. Them, they only cost 15 cents for 20 of them, but I didn't have many 15 cents. And I said, I got to just quit throwing them away. But that night when he come, oh, hallelujah, he brought an answer. He brought a power. Repent means to turn. I couldn't turn. See, this power is progressive, is what I'm telling you. As you move toward that image, from that moment when he convicted me, I could have got up, walked out of that church, shook it off, never come back and went to hell, or I can go to that altar. Because there's power. I said there's power. There's power to repent. But repent means to change your mind, change your way, turn from what you are to Christ. I've tried that 1,000 times. It wasn't possible. But now the Holy Ghost has come with conviction, and with it, there's power. Oh, my God, to turn around. 50 years ago, and I'm still on this trail. 50 years walking with this God. Hallelujah. Power to repent. With repentance, there comes a power to believe. You don't have to repent. You can walk out of here. But the same Holy Spirit has come to carry you all the way through. He that found you that night in that place of sin and made you know what you were, gave you the power to turn away from that. The power to repent was there. You don't have to. But if you follow him, there's nothing you can't lay aside. No sin, no problem, no devil, no nothing that I can't overcome. Mr. Finney preaching those Presbyterians, those people in that altar crying out loud voices, and those Presbyterian preachers said, "Can't you make them be quiet?" He said, "No, the devil always made a loud noise when he come out." That power came because the Holy Ghost came. Not before, not till he came can you change anything. But when he came, then the power to repent. Repentance means to turn. John came preaching repentance. Jesus preached repentance. The apostles preached repentance. That's a key word. There can be no salvation without repentance. John preaching, he made the banks of that Jordan the front street of the world. Men come from everywhere. He preached and proclaimed. That Roman soldier, "Hey, John, what's that mean to me?" Treat every man right. Be content with your wages. Be right. And when that soldier walked down into that water, he's saying to everybody out there, "I'm going to be a different man." That old tax collector, "What about us, John?" That's the mafia of the first century. Quit stealing the state's money. And when he walked down in that water, he said to that crowd, took his life in his own hand. He's saying to that head of that chief, he said, "I'm not stealing no more. I'm a different man. I'm turning around." Then out there come the religious man. "What about us? You can't bring it in here." Everybody starts at zero. Everybody. The axe is laid at the root of the tree. You got to leave it outside. Out there in that gold-bottomed chariot, said Mr. Herod, "What about the King John?" He loaded that rapid-firing gospel gun with the seventh commandment. Not lawful if you're to have your brother's wife. Cost him his head. But that's what repentance was. You can't make it. You turn from that. Amen. But that king could have done it that day. Power to turn, power to repent comes with conviction. But if you repent, there'll come the grace of faith to believe. I talk to people everywhere. They say, "I'd like to be a Christian. I just don't have the faith." That's not your problem, mister. If you in this house tonight and the Holy Ghost deals with your heart, that isn't a problem. If you're here as a Christian, you're not right with God. That problem's not faith. No. That grace of faith comes when a man will repent. If a man will do a proper job of repentance, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God. But that gift never comes to a human until they exercise the power of repentance. When I turn to Christ, then the power to believe Christ only comes when I repent. I'm talking about power that comes with this Holy Ghost. From the moment he touched my life, there was a power connected. He never come to me in any way that I couldn't do what he said. Never in all of these years has he ever come. When he talked to me about moving to Russia, we had no money, we had no base of support, but we moved. He become that support. He become it all. He every time, he never dealt with a heart that he didn't give him the ability and the power to do. He said the power of conviction brought the power of repentance. Proper repentance brought the power to believe. The grace of faith comes to a heart. I didn't know maybe even how to spell the word faith. I never used that. That's not in my language. But that night at that altar, as I cried out to God, there was an ability to believe that he would save me that come from heaven. The power to believe with repentance, but with believing. Oh my God, help us to see one more time the miracle of that new birth. With believing comes the power of a new creation. That birth, that new creature, comes out of the power of that belief that came to me when I repented, came to you when you repented. The power to believe brings about the explosiveness of a new creature. We played that down. We've made that join in a church. We've made that saying a little sinner's prayer. Amen. No repentance, no brokenness, no sin dealt with. We fill the church with tares because we've not made them repent, not brought them to the realization that what's happened to them. But when that repentance comes, then the grace of faith, and a man believes as a new creature. No miracle like this. No miracle like the new creation. If any man be in Christ, there's a new creation. That's not an attitude. That's a new person created in righteousness and true holiness. A person is in me more real than I am if I just recognize that. That's the only one that God deals with. But that new creature is a product of a faith given, a power given, when a man or a woman repented. But with that new creature comes the ability to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This Holy Ghost, for this you were created, that you may contain the Creator. There's no other reason to be on this planet but that God, by the Spirit, may live through you. That blood made me that creature, but I'm incomplete until He breathes in me. I cannot perform. I cannot function. I cannot do. He said to those that watched Him do it all, they'd seen it all, heard it all, don't you leave here. You're not ready yet. In that day, you'll know what I'm talking about. You think now, but you don't know. But in that day, you will know. Holy Ghost, that day when He came, they knew, and the power to perform was there on that day. That new creation to be filled with the Holy Ghost is God's answer to Christianity. There is no experience above that. All over this country today, they said, time to move on to that second level of Pentecost. I know it. That's the rapture. We're going to get out of here. That's the next level. But here now, that level is right what happened on that day of Pentecost. When that power came in to that cleansed vessel, when it came into that vessel, then that's where God has been working all the time. That invisible God came into human flesh. Manifest Him through it. That man don't look at him now and judge his boundaries, criticize him because his hair's not curly or because he's bald-headed or has a big nose. No, sir. All the defects is the outside. Inside is a perfect God. That's all the while. God's historical movement has always been this moving toward the spiritual. And the last revelation of God, the first one was Father, the second was Son, and the third was the Holy Ghost. That's not that because He's third, He's less, but He become now that which can live in that new creature. Now we've reached that point, that place in time where we can be and do all that He said. All that He said. You know, when I first got saved, I told you, that old man come down that second night. There's others that are going to get me saved again. That's a problem. You know, you're really born again. You're so stirred up, you don't know what happened to you. Just something happened. And so you go back to that altar, and here comes somebody want to get you saved again. He elbowed him out of the way. Never forget. Amen. He elbowed me. He said, I'll handle this one. He's the one who led me to God. He knew I was born. I said, He knew I was born, or I wouldn't have been back that night. He got down there and looked me in the eye. What do you want, son? Oh, I said, I don't know. He said, the Holy Ghost? Never heard of Him. All ghosts scare me. I said, I don't know about that. What is that? He said, that's next. I said, is it as good as it got last night? No, son, but it'll make what you got last night much better. Oh, never heard a greater message. I began to seek the Holy Ghost, and for a year and a half, I sought the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Every time, churches everywhere. Those days it may be dead, but it wasn't apostate. All of us believe the same thing. You go in the Church of God in Texas or New Mexico, they're all the same. Assembly of God. They wasn't all this riffraff and trash that's come floating through in this new age. There, it was real. Everywhere they're having a meeting, we went. And when they give an invitation to get the Holy Ghost, I'd go. We live 9 miles out in the country, drive into town to the meeting. I'd almost hyperventilate. I said, honey, you know tonight God may come live in us. Who knows that this may be the night? Amen. But all that seeking, but you know, in all of it, I saw something and learned something. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I remember being in those services, people shouting, prophesying, dancing, talking in tongues. I knew they had the Holy Ghost, but I said, oh God, where is this power you're talking about? I know they got the Holy Ghost. They're talking in tongues. They're prophesying. They're dancing. They're happy. Where's the power? I've only been saved a few months, he said to me. The only power of this Holy Ghost is your ability to be led by him. Yes, sir. That's a truth I learned as a baby that most preachers haven't learned in a lifetime. You can't force this. No. You can go to the morgue and holler at every corpse down there. But if he sends me and Duke down there tomorrow, we'll bring one of them back testified to you. Yes, sir. I've never been confounded. Whenever it's the Holy Spirit, the only power of the Spirit is in the ability to be led by him. That ability to be led, the power is there. He said in the book of Psalms, I read, David said, he'll never allow you to be confounded. I said, yeah, I've been confounded. He said, I know, but you went there without me. You're going to demonstrate. You're going to try to force it. Amen. You're going to try. We run the ads. C.M. Ward once said, the world's in trouble if that preacher ever believes his own propaganda. This, you see, the power is the inability to be led by him. And if you don't learn to be led by him, then the system itself is going to have to eliminate you. You're no value here now. It's a waste of power. There's nothing worse than the waste of power. It's always the economy of power governs everything. In this great state, they're watching all the time. They're trying to get lights that'll burn less electricity. Air conditions all the while. Fuel efficient is the word today. It is the economy of power. Well, God is no different. He don't waste it. I said, he don't waste it. You must learn the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And on that end of the Spirit, anything becomes possible. Anything becomes possible. Whatever it is, wherever he leads you, you can do. You can go to any city, cast out any devil, heal any sick if he is taking you there. But it's learned to be sensitive. But when you come this age, you talk about the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you open up a whole can of worms. There's those, it's a nervous tick, it's some kind of a slack jaw, glazed look in your eye, some phony kind of a garb that men wear, has nothing to do with the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I can tell you must be led by him. This system will drop you. There's no place for you in this kingdom. No flesh will glory in his sight. None. It is only as I learn to walk, to be led by, hear his voice. When I hear that voice, everything is all right. When I move with the sound, when Joshua inside thought a thought, stopped the sun, he stopped the sun. You can get out in the morning and tell that sun to stop, but it'll keep moving. But if God tells you, you can stop a universe. You think about that. One man in the Old Testament heard. I don't believe he heard a voice. He just thought a thought. Oh, I think he sat down. He said, the wife's right. I've been war too long. My nerves are gone. Help me stop the sun. You know, if Einstein is here tonight, smartest man maybe ever lived, I'd say, Albert, what do you think about a man stopping that sun? He said, I tell you, I think you're mad. It's 93 million miles away. It's 1 million miles in diameter. and it's going through space out there at thousands of miles an hour, and there's a billion worlds following it. If you stop it and don't stop the wreck, there has to be a wreck out there. I'm telling you, it'll be a mess out there. It'll be a pile up worse than this freeway here in California. Listen, if you stop the one, he'd say, I think you're mad. But one man, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, halted this universe till he won a victory for God. Yes, sir. Leadership of the Holy Spirit is what I'm talking about. I can think his thoughts and have the courage to speak them. There's nothing beyond that. Nothing. That's impossible with the man that comes to that. It's not some phony look in your eye. You don't have to be 100 years in Christianity. You just got to be full of the Holy Ghost and learn to be sensitive to him. That leadership. Oh, how wonderful. Progressiveness of it as I learn to be led by him. How does that work? First of all, this book only. All begins right here. You sit here on this pew, you hear this man of God preach, and you don't do what you hear, he ain't gonna hear nothing. You're not gonna hear nothing else. God has a controversy with you, that ends that. If there's something in your life he's talked to you about and you're not doing it, he dealt with you about that tithing and you're not putting in that plate, he's not going to talk to you no more. That's all of that. Those grandkids can get around me, but I can't get around him. No, there's no way that he's going to talk to you until you settle the issue. If there's a controversy, that's all. God talks to us out of this book. First of all, I become sensitive. That's the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You hear the man of God. You read the word of God. And you put that into practice. That's leadership of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said men ought always to pray. Every morning when me and Pastor get in that truck, that van, and head for this prayer meeting, hallelujah, I'm being led by God's Spirit. Amen. May not feel too good, tired, rather stay in bed, but I'm being led by the Spirit. I could have laid in that bed and I could have said to him, I'm too tired, preach, pick me up for church. He'd have said, all right, Pastor, I'll do that. Amen. But I'm the one missed it. The leadership of the Holy Spirit is to get up, get on down there. Men ought always to pray. It begins right there. It said you ought not to forsake the assembling of yourself together. When you started to this house tonight, the Holy Ghost was leading you. That's the whole thing. I read. I obey. I become sensitive. Bring your tithe into that storehouse. I'll open up the windows of heaven every time. Every Sunday. My wife is there in that church. We drop that tithe. Those offerings. For the last 50 years, been doing that. But every time I'm aware, I'm led by God's Spirit. Hallelujah. I can tell you the windows of heaven. There has to be this month and every month at least $100,000 come. I don't have time to chase it. I just obey him. I do with what I've got. He has to do with the rest of it. As you become sensitive to the written word of God, then God can talk to you. There's nothing in this Bible about moving to Moscow, but I knew I was supposed to go. I knew that. I don't know, California, you probably don't have these kind of people. But in Texas, 35 years, I had lots of them come through. They wouldn't give a quarter to save this world. It sat on chairs like that, ain't never in their life bought one of them. If it wore down, got hard, they complained. Ought to put some new padding on this pew. Sing out of songbooks, never bought a songbook in their life. Get mad the air conditioning wasn't on, did nothing but pay the bill. But come a tripping in on Sunday morning, won't give a message in tongues. Now just sit down. I don't want to hear none of that. God ain't got nothing to say to you, to me. Oh no, if you don't walk in this, he ain't got nothing to say. You ain't got no prophecy. You ain't got no tongue. You ain't got nothing to give nobody. You won't obey this. Mr. Wigglesworth said, I read in this book that God hated the winking of the eye. He said, I'll never wink my eye again, not even a little child. That's the reason he could raise 7 people from the dead. He was sensitive to what this book said. The leadership of the Holy Spirit is not, it's a very practical thing, but you have to learn that. The power of this gospel is in the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Being where God wants you, when he wants you, will assure God doing it. It's not an accident that $500,000 came through this church last year. It's because it was the will of God. They were led into this program of outreach to men around the world. God saw a place that would walk with him in it. Not millionaires didn't do that, but people led by the Spirit. You see, the progressiveness all along this line to be full of the Holy Ghost, it begins right there, though. It isn't 20 years down the road. I'm full. He said you receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You begin right there. It's the next day. Peter is healing a man that's been crippled for 40 years. He stood up on it, moved in it. There was a boldness about it that made it work because he believed in what happened to him. We are always trying to get better. You only get better as you move with him. I'm not talking about people that live in willful sin. The Holy Ghost is gone there. I'm talking about honest to God people that walk in God, obey what they know, preacher preaches, hear the word of God, put it in practice in their life. I can tell you they can heal the sick. They move with God. Power, though, is a progressive thing. As we move with God, as we allow him, amen, to work in our lives to this degree, all along, it's ever increasing thing, amen, ever. The baptism of power is spoken of to us as a special gift. A special gift to who? Those that are born again. Every born again. Not to special people, but a special gift to people who are birthed of God, people who are born again. That's why you were born. And it is a special gift of God. Paul prayed that the Ephesians, who had been sealed with the Holy Ghost, would receive the Spirit of wisdom. I don't think it's far wrong then to say to receive the Spirit of power. Other words, you've got to come to believe. He is wisdom in me, but he's power in me. I have to believe that. See, you gotta come to have faith in all that God says about this Holy Ghost. I must believe that. He'll reveal the Bible. So I'll read the Bible. And God talks to me out of the Bible. Not as much as I like to him, but he does. He talks to me. He says he's the Spirit of holiness. So I believe as I walk in that Spirit, I'm a holy man. Of course there's failures. I don't commit adultery or kill anybody, but sometimes there's a wrong attitude that you have to repent, but I'll do it then, not tomorrow. If I wrong you tonight, I'm not going to bed till it's right. I'm not going to grieve him. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. But he prayed that they'd have the Spirit of wisdom. That is Christ, and he is the Holy Ghost. So what's wrong for the Spirit of power? That's just simply coming to pray, is to come into the place that this is in me as a gift of God. This is in me to will and to do the purpose of God. Look at Paul's prayer and plead that God would grant us to be mightily strengthened by Spirit, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That prayer, pray it. It's in there before us. He who searches a heart knows what's the mind of the Spirit and will give you not according to the correctness of your word, but the Spirit breathed desire of your heart. It is a love for the spiritual that's birthed by the Holy Ghost that makes a man worth something to God. Every Jacob will eventually get to Peniel. I've dealt with men in that church. They fell in, fell out. They'd fall in that altar. They'd weep, oh, pastor, I'm out there. I failed again. I want God, please help me. There was a hunger. But I saw that Jacob sometime at that altar where it's settled forever. You come into that convention this year, you see the men back there in the red coats. Some of them, when I first got them, you don't put them by that air-conditioned vent, mister. You keep them where the breath don't come over them. But today, they're different folks. I said they're different folks. Oh, yes, sir. Let me tell you something. This Holy Ghost, this Spirit of God in us, God is saying to us, listen, he searches the heart, and what he deals with me is not on how correct how well or pretty I can pray, but the pure desires of that heart. Jacob, he couldn't join any of our churches. I'm telling you, Brother Walsh used to say he's a crooked. When they buried him, they'd have to screw him in the ground. Amen. Said he had to screw his socks on. But oh, God loved him. God loved him. We wouldn't let him join. And no way he'd be a part of us. We can't have that surplanter around here. But God loved him. Esau would have been a deacon. Of course he would. Clean as a hound's tooth. I'm telling you, he smelled like the dirt. And everybody, why, that's a pure upright man. He's never, you never see anything out of him. He's always right there taking care of his father. Sitting on the front seat every time the church is going. Can't sing, but he'll let you know he's entering into it. God said he hated him. Hated him. Loved this one. This crooked one. What's the difference? The difference was, one of them would sell that spiritual for his own appetite. For a little bigger bowl of beans, he'll sell the spiritual. The other one, he'll sell his family, risk his life. He'll do anything to have that. Whatever it takes. He didn't know how to get it, so he'll steal it. Amen. He'll do anything. I want that from God. Yes, sir, I'm going to have that. He tricked that brother. He and his mother connived together, tricked that old blind dad. Amen. And he got that birthright. God didn't like the way he did it, but God loved a hunger that says, I'd rather die than not have that. I want that Holy Ghost. I want God. I want to live for God. And it is that quality in a man that will make God give him and will bring God to that heart and meet that desire. He got him to Peniel. He came to Jabbok. And he met God face to face that night. And when he crossed there, he's not Jacob no more. He's not that surplanter. He's Israel. He's prevailed with God because God for 20 years wouldn't give up on him because he had a hunger. I've dealt with people, they have no desire for the hunger, and no desire for, come to church Sunday morning, watch, old time you're there, you know. What if he's going to preach all night? Others hang on to every word. Just sit there, latched on to it. There's something going to happen in that life. That hunger may have to deal with a lot of things in your life, may take a long time around, but to see the honesty of that heart, you can keep dealing with that. As long as you're not deceitful, you just want it. You fall, you stumble, you get up, but eventually you'll come to Jabbok. Eventually you'll come there, and God will instill in you. This spirit, you see, it progressively brings us toward that image. That means the same attitude, the same desire, the same what he wants, I want, because the same thing governs him is governed me. It's a spirit of power. The spirit is never anything separate from God. You hear me? Never anything separate from God. In all he's going and working, he's still the instrument. He's still the innermost self of God. In seeking for the power of the Spirit, he always must know that. He's never anything other than God is. There's been everything come through the Pentecostal church. One time they was getting honey in their hair, oil on their hands. You know, everything was going on. Lady come running up in the service one night. Look at this. What are you talking about? Got oil in the hands. Sit down. I'm preaching. Oh, she was so upset. She said, you may as well close these doors. You're cursed. I said, the Bible don't care what the Bible said. Yes, the Holy Ghost told me. Holy Ghost didn't tell you nothing that's apart from this book. He don't move outside the perimeters of this Bible. If God, it never anything separate from God. We must know that, believe that, stand on that. But all the time, you see, trying to come in, trying to bring things into it. This is not God. Pentecost is inventor of gimmicks. We went through the leg stretching. Oh, what a time that was. Everywhere you went, somebody wanted to stretch a leg. Oh, yeah. A man said to me, God showed me you got one leg ain't shorter than the other. Well, it'd be like walking on a railroad track. You'd be. And he got mad because I wouldn't sit down and let him pull around on my leg. Fool. fools playing games, gimmicks, all kinds of stuff. But you just remember this. This Holy Ghost will never be anything separate from God. You read this book. You live in this book. This book is not just a book. It's a person. That person is Jesus. And now that Jesus is in me by the Holy Ghost, I read this. I learn Jesus. I look at whatever. I don't have to search through 66 books. I have a look at that. He not run around with any honey on his head. And you're not going to put none on mine. Amen. I'm not going to play your games. He's the living word, and the Holy Ghost come to reveal him. If I let him, if I just give myself to him, don't try to push him. Don't try it. Man said, Holy Ghost, don't move. I move him. Oh, I want to leave. I was on the inside. I said, if I was on the aisle, I'd leave. He may cave his house in. Amen. Move him. Nothing. No, no. If he don't move, leave it alone. He is moving. You just don't know what moving is. You got him all fixed up. You got him on a fast track. You got him hooked up. He's not a robot. You don't tell him what to do. I said, you don't tell him what to do. You just stand, watch that cloud. Whichever it goes, follow it out there. There'll be something out there if you will. The leadership, sensitive to him that lives in me. Now listen, he speaks from in here. I heard a man saying God spoke to him 7 times. Heard this voice, audible. 1 or 2 times, Jesus stood there talking to him like I'm talking to you. He never did quit chewing his gum. You know, just carry on, matter of fact. You know, as if I'd come to visit him. You just carry on. I was in a meeting one time. 400 people, one of them dinner meetings or luncheons. 400 people in there. When it got through, picked up the plates, but the coffee cups are there. And he preached, the man preached about a miracle in your mouth. All you got to do is say it. Just talk it out. Say it. It's going to happen. He went on there for 45 minutes just rattling, talking about you just talk it, you say it, it's done. He himself had 2 open heart surgeries. I said, I'm going to tell you one thing. All I got to do is say it. You're not going to cut me open like an ox. Amen. That's all I got to do. You don't believe your own message. But for 45 minutes, then when he got through, he said, now, if I'm talking about you, I want you to stand up. He said, there's 20 people here got diabetes. 1 in every 26 got it. So 20 stood up. There's right here in this building tonight. There's at least 20 got diabetes. One person in this building gonna lose your sight forever. Stood up. 1 in about every 300. That's the way it is, they say. He just had them insurance statistics all he's reading. When he got through, had nothing happened to anybody, just diabetic standing up. Let's give the Lord a hand for what he's done. I said, well, what's he done? But you know what? All the time, in 10 minutes, that gift worked at least 30 times. And the waitresses moved in on them tables, picking up them cups, clink, clink, bang, clink, clink, drop a fork, rattling cups, you know, all the while. Not even stop waitress, picking up, going along. I said, oh God, if the Holy Ghost was to move in this motel 30 times, it'd stop the traffic on Interstate 10 out there. It moved in Jerusalem, shut the city down, cast the devil out of one woman, got preachers locked up, and a revival broke out in the jail. There ain't no way no gift gonna work 30 times and you sit there and go to sleep while it's happening. There's these games men play. I'm talking about the real Holy Ghost. Stand up one more time. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. 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 Oh my Lord and my God. While these musicians are coming, listen, let's praise him here a minute. But everybody needs to be filled. Gonna get filled tonight, I believe. Oh, I believe this is your night. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Why don't we praise God here tonight? Why don't we praise him here tonight? Why don't we worship him here tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, why don't we praise God here tonight? Why don't we love God here tonight? Why don't we worship God here tonight? Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you. We need you tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Oh, we need you, we need you, we need you. Glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I love you. Oh, Holy Ghost, move in this house tonight. Move in this house tonight. Work in this house tonight. Fill every one of us, Lord, tonight. Oh, God, let us come to know the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, that we sing an old song, Fill Me Till I Thirst No More. That really isn't very good. You ain't never going to come. We don't want more of this. You ain't never going to get that full. The more you get, the more you... The hungriest people in this house for God is the people that walk closest to Him. That backslider's wondering how I'm going to get out of here with that hungry heart. The man that wants money more than anybody, man, got the most of it. And the man that wants God is that man that knows Him. He wants to fill you tonight. He wants to fill you. Some of you, been a long time since you really, really been filled. Since that river really pushed and shoved and broke out in reality. He wants to do that. If you haven't been filled, tonight, listen, while we worship, kneel in this altar. Lift your hands and just begin to thank Him and praise Him. If you're not right, get right. You know, it don't take forever. Repent, it's over with. Believe that. Believe that. If you did wrong, ask Him to forgive you. If you don't believe He does, you make Him a liar. If you got to make it right, the people you got to make it right in here, He'll give you credit. Fill you anyhow. Amen. If you just, it's a willing heart. It's a willing heart. But don't leave here tonight without being filled with this Holy Ghost. We're moving toward the climax. I believe about ready to drop that checkered flag. It's the last lap. I said it's the last lap. Come on down, lift them hands and begin to worship. Begin to praise. Begin to love. Begin to cry out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. This is the night. I said this is the night. This is the day. This is the time. Tonight's the night. Oh, tonight's your night. Hallelujah. I said tonight's your night. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Oh, listen, I want you out there that are full. We talked this morning. Nothing makes it more real than when you're sharing. Holy Ghost never more real than when you're praying with somebody else. You come on down here tonight. Let's pray Him through. Let's pray Him through. Don't leave Him to die in this altar. Come on down here. Hallelujah. Go ahead, John. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Mama! Thank you. Come on down here. It's a flowing knee deeper out here. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, la ba 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 ba